power to the people.
Muslims on the corner sending papers to the lost. Black Panthers serving breakfast to the children free of cost. We were young, gifted, and black.
The year 2014 may go down as the start of a new chapter in the black struggle for equality and civil rights, with the uprising in Ferguson over the killing of Michael Brown. As police continue to gun down black Americans, many remember past violence of the United States and how another seminal year in history rocked the nation and the world. That year was 1968, and my guest Rashid Ali has memorialized the turmoil of the time through music and videos in his new album, 1968, Soul Power, which we're listening to now. Rashid Ali is an award-winning musician, artist, and educator. He now joins me in studio. And the name of this track, Rashid, is called Black Power Revolution, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But how did this project, 1968, Soul Power, how did it first begin? What led to you creating this multi-track album? This is an album very much in the style of 70s soul music, but you have just recorded these tracks very recently.
Yes, I am a authentic 70s musician, as it were. So, friends were, I've had a very interesting life, and a lot of my friends wanted me to write a book because they know that I do write. But I didn't want to write a book. I wanted to take this semi-autobiographical look back and do it through music, a living history through music, because I think the music of the day was very powerful. It was called soul music, by the way. It wasn't called hip-hop. It was called soul music. And I think even in that name is something very powerful, because it is from the soul.
So you recorded how many tracks? 12 or 13 tracks?
Well, it's 18 tracks, but actually the first track is a lead-in, like a dream sequence, kind of like the Twilight Zone. We start in 2015, and then we're magically transformed. We go back in time to April 4th, 1968, which was a day that I remember very well because I was young and impressionable. It was the day that Martin Luther King was gunned down.
So you recorded these 18 tracks, each of which seemed to have a theme. Some of the songs in particular reflect very strong themes of the civil rights movement and the student movements, the anti-war movements, so many movements, overlapping movements. And you didn't just make them as music tracks. You actually created music videos that you illustrated with vintage and archival footage of the time. Tell us about the sort of multimedia aspect of this project.
The multimedia aspect comes from the fact that I had already been working in multimedia. I used to do music for television, and I've also done digital storytelling with nonprofit organizations. I found being formerly an educator, I taught for 15 years, while playing music, and also having children, having my own sons, I needed for them to see what it looked like. So I culled all of this researched public domain footage that I could have access to so that I could capture what it felt like growing up in these times. You know, the world was on television then, and television, the war in Vietnam, for instance, was on television. And every night at dinner, my father and I would argue, because he was a World War II veteran. We would argue about the war in Vietnam, but it was on television. So I felt that it was the imagery were very powerful, and I wanted younger people to see them, and I wanted older people to be reminded.
So let's actually take a listen to the track Vietnam off of 1968 Soul Power.
Looking back.
small town way down south. He was such a nice guy, never a bad word from his mouth. But he was never the same again once he got back from Vietnam. His mama said, "What happened to my baby boy?" His girlfriend said, "That's not my baby." When he got back, there was something.
Vietnam, off of the album 1968 Soul Power, that is created by my guest Rashid Ali. You can actually watch the music videos of this entire album online on YouTube, and we'll give you details about that, and as well as where you can get the album itself. Rashid, let's talk about this particular song, Vietnam. It actually focuses on, while you have images of the Vietnam War, the kinds of images that were seen on television here in the 1960s, you're also telling the story of somebody, of a soldier who went to Vietnam.
It always freaked me out. By the way, I was up for the draft in my senior year.
Wow.
In high school, because you had to go to the draft board and actually register. I did that. It was a very scary moment in my life. I was a kid. But one of the wonderful things for me that an otherwise horrible president, President Nixon, did was he instituted a lottery system. My number just didn't come up. But I had friends from, and I grew up in a housing project, a low-income housing project in New York City. And I had friends who went from this urban environment of New York City to this teeming jungle of Vietnam to fight a war. And they came back with those stories. So you can imagine like a summer night in the projects with my friend Lawrence having come back. He was older, having come back, and all of us younger guys would be almost like in a fireside chat, and he would tell us all these horrendous stories about Vietnam. And that stuck with me. And also, I remember the day that we were messing around when he snapped. He snapped mentally. We were playing around, and he started choking me.
Oh, my goodness.
Until I blacked out. And then everybody, came. I was blacked out. So but when I came to, he hugged me and he said, "I'm sorry, little brother. I'm sorry. I forgot where I was." And I looked at his eyes. I'll never forget that moment. I thought, wow, he almost killed me.
And the song after Vietnam on your album, Not My Baby, is also related to the war?
It is. That's a kind of sneaky one. You won't get that from listening to it. But if you see the video, it starts with the war and it starts with him coming back. And what it really, nobody called anything PTSD back then. Ironically, my dad, he worked at the Veterans Administration Hospital, and he worked in the psych ward as a male nurse. And he would tell us stories about, oh, these guys are coming back from Vietnam, they're heroin addicts. And he actually looked down upon them because he was a World War II veteran. But I got a different spin from listening to his stories. You know, I tell him, "Dad, you don't know. This is a different war. This is a different life. This is a different time." So we had many arguments about that.
And then here in the United States, there were other wars of sorts being fought, right? Not just the anti-war movement battling with the government, but also the Black Power movements. I want to play a bit of your song, Student Revolution, which is also on 1968 Soul Power. Here is Student Revolution by my guest, Rashid Ali.
Long hair, hippie,
Student Revolution by my guest, Rashid Ali. Were you a student activist?
Absolutely. Every one of those terms applies to me. That is, you know, it's really funny. You know, at that time, New York, you have to remember, we had Columbia University had major protests, and Rap Brown and Stokely Carmichael even came to the university. I went to the LaGuardia High School for the Arts, and we're on the campus of City College. And I'll never forget being in math class when they were having a protest at City College, and all of a sudden you saw all these police with riot gear, you know, full riot gear with the visors and the helmets and the batons. And they had a phalanx of, and they started beating up the kids. And we were all at the windows screaming bloody murder. And we were in high school and they were in college. I'll never forget that.
And so the emotions that you captured are so powerful because, of course, that was a very powerful time for students, and student activism was a historic time. Some are saying that we're seeing a bit of a resurgence in student activism today. And I want to get to the part of our conversation now where we talk about the relevance of your album, 1968 Soul Power, to what's happening today. You know, it's obviously a very different time. Some of the battles are different. Some are reminiscent of what were being fought in 1968. How do you see your album being viewed by people who might not have been alive in 1968?
That's been very, very interesting. Oh, that is a very complicated question. The activism that we had then, you had 250,000 kids that went to the Pentagon to protest. I don't think you're seeing that now. So I'm a little bit jaded because I'm hoping that young people can stop staring at their iPhones long enough to really come together in some kind of solidarity. We've seen it in brief moments, but I am jaded with that. I have talked to my son's friends, and they do relate to what I've done. They relate to my work. But a lot of them look at it like, wow, that was such a cool time. I wish I was born then.
It was also a difficult time, though. It's not like it was easy to be an activist. It was certainly not easy to be African-American. It was not easy to be a woman. It wasn't easy to be gay. It wasn't easy to be, you know, many, many things in the country at that time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yet people, in a way, found a way to sort of liberate themselves. And they did a lot of it through art, through music.
Yes.
And through culture, some of which, you know, I think you capture so well in this album. And I'm wondering also now, in terms of your question, my question is for you as a musician, as an artist, did you try to capture a traditional, if I even can use that word traditional on soul, feel? Or did you try to, you know, think that maybe you should make it a little bit more modern sounding?
I did not want to make it modern sounding. I wanted it to sound as if it was created then because, you know, it's like a movie. You know, if you're making a movie about 1968, then everything has to conform. You know, the ambiance has to conform. The language has to conform. You can't have people using words that are used now. I used a vintage 1968 microphone.
Wow.
You have to understand, what you don't understand about me is that I started playing music when I was 12 years old, and when I was 16, I had my first record deal. And my group, my original group, which is vintage and actually is being celebrated right now in Europe because they realized it kind of like, that's him? But I had a group called Natural Essence, and we were very prominent on the scene. We did all of Jesse Jackson's Operation Push concerts, Black Expo. We played at many different forums. We played at the 16th Street Baptist Church in Alabama. You understand what I'm saying? Is that I was doing that then. So actually,
it wasn't an effort for you to recreate it.
No,
that was a sound you already were practicing.
It's not a derivative thing. Mm-hmm. Now, you see, there are people in the KPFK audience, because I do have a cult following for some of my world music work, Rashid Ali and Rain people, who knew me as a quote-unquote, you know, people get into genres. They knew me as a world musician. And they were like, wow, this is you. This was just a way of me utilizing what I had done when I was younger, as you say, to bring it all in. Mm.
And so the music doesn't have, you recorded it on an older microphone. Did you rely on any of the tricks that musicians use today with computers to clean up the sound, to have a produced feel or anything?
Well, first of all, we have live horns and
real instruments.
Real instruments.
Amazing.
I really play. I play keyboards. I do play the horns. I do play saxophone, flute. I do all the vocals. I do play percussion. I do play drums. So they're real instruments, and that has a lot to do with it. Of course, recording nowadays, you're going to record the way we record nowadays. So at that point, you know, digitally, yes. Things are involved.
You recorded them digitally, but the music was created originally.
It was created with a pure analog soul, I would say.
And so the video component of it, going back to the multimedia aspect of it, you also put that together, right?
Yes,
yourself.
I edit on the Avid system, and I've been doing that for the past 10 years. It's funny how that happened. You know, I was for the last 10 years. I've had my business doing digital storytelling for nonprofits, and it actually ties in with why I did the album in the first place. I realized that all of the people I was dealing with who were the vanguard of the nonprofits, they were like me. They were the ex-hippie kids.
Right.
We got to talking, and we realized that we were the free-thinking radical kids. And now we're the old heads, and because government is so lacking, we fill the void with all these nonprofits. So after doing digital storytelling, trying to capture the real stories of these nonprofits, I said, "What if I took that digital storytelling concept and applied it to this album?"
And so it's all online. Tell our audience where you can find the videos online and also where they can purchase the album in either video or audio format.
1968soulpower.com. I couldn't make it any more simple. 1968soulpower.com is kind of the hub. That's the website. Right from the website, you can sample the music. You can see all the videos. We do have a separate 1968 Soul Power YouTube channel. The album can be bought. As I said, the album's taken off in Europe right now, and I'm very happy about that. But here in the United States, not enough people know about it, and I really hope that your audience will investigate it because I want to inspire those who are older, those who are from the generation, to remember that they were once those free-thinking radical kids and they still have something. If you're here, you still have something to contribute. And if you're young, I want you to look back and see what we old heads were about.
My guest is Rashid Ali. He is an award-winning musician, artist, and educator. We've been talking about his new album, 1968 Soul Power, and we can actually go out with another track off of that CD called Burn, Baby, Burn. Thank you so much, Rashid.
You're very welcome. I'm really happy to be here.
And that does it for our program today. You've been listening to Uprising. Anna Buss is our assistant producer and our technical director. Our website is uprisingwithsonali.com. You can catch us at facebook.com/uprisingradio and twitter.com/uprisingradio. I'm your host and executive producer, Sonali Kolhatkar. Thanks so much for listening. I'll see you next time.
Chasing fly girls, living in another world. Then they shot down Mr. King.